And our present meditation is on the real presence, communication of grace. To remind ourselves, we are on the second level of reasons why Christ instituted the Blessed Sacrament. And we're saying he did so in order to communicate his grace. There is more than passing value reflecting on what this means, because the language we commonly use is adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. My first purpose, therefore, here is to clarify the fact that adoration includes petition, and the devotion to the Holy Eucharist is, we may say, bilateral. We are indeed to communicate to our Lord in the Eucharist, but he also, and with emphasis, is communicating to us. Even more precisely, he is communicating to us before we communicate to him. In fact, unless he were first communicating his grace to us, we could not be communicating with him. I would like to ask three questions and provide a short answer. First, how does Eucharistic adoration include Eucharistic petition? Second, why is Eucharistic petition a powerful means for Christ communicating his grace? And finally, what is the apostolate of Eucharistic prayer? First, then, Eucharistic adoration includes Eucharistic petition. We are not trifling with words when we say that adoration of the Eucharist includes petition. Why is it important to know this? Because otherwise we are liable to deprive ourselves and others of many blessings that Christ intends to give us and others through our fervently asking him in the Blessed Sacrament. In technical language, adoration is the act of religion by which God is recognized as alone worthy of supreme honor because he is infinitely perfect and has the right to total obedience as our Creator and total dedication as our destiny. I would like to emphasize that adoration includes both obedience to God as our Creator and the love of God as our destiny. Thus defined, adoration includes every form of prayer, including the prayer of petition, by which we ask God for ourselves and for others what we or they need. In the last analysis, what are we doing when we ask God for something? We are acknowledging our complete dependence on Him. For everything that we received in the past, that we have now, and that we hope for in the future. But the acknowledgement of such dependence is adoration. As we've been saying, the main purpose of this retreat is to clarify our minds and deepen our understanding of what we already know, but through prayerful reflection can know more clearly and more deeply. So then we ask, how does adoration in general differ from Eucharistic adoration? Is there any difference? Does it make any difference? There is a crucial difference. After all, it is one thing to adore God, and something quite different and distinct to believe three fundamental truths underlining that very simple adjective, Eucharistic adoration. I repeat, it is one thing to adore God, and something quite otherwise to believe that God became man, that Jesus Christ is God, become man, and that Jesus Christ, the God-man, is really present in the Holy Eucharist. And then to adore Him. The five times each day, as the 500 million Muslims throughout the world bow, as we know, in profound adoration to Allah, turning always in the direction of Mecca. Are they adoring God? Yes, because Allah for them is the one, single, infinite creator of heaven and earth. But as no Muslim in his right mind would ever do, never would he bow and prostrate himself before the Blessed Sacrament. So profound is the difference between adoration of God, although authentic adoration, and Eucharistic adoration, that in one single country of Africa, as I keep telling people, the Sudan, 2 million Catholics were starved to death by the Muslims for adoring Jesus Christ as Allah. Here, in fact, and we better know what we believe, so that knowing more deeply, we might pray more effectively. Here, in fact, is the basic difference between all the non-Christian religions, including the monotheistic religions like Judaism and Islam. They believe in God, but they virulently deny that God became man, became the son of Mary in the person of Jesus Christ. Moreover, here also is the basic difference between Catholic Christianity and, say, the Christianity that separated from the Catholic Church in the 16th century. As Catholics, we believe that Jesus Christ is physically on earth in the Holy Eucharist. The inhabitants of the so-called Reformation do not believe this. And the Society of Jesus has not a few martyrs because the inhabitants of the Reformation call those who adored our Lord in the Eucharist idolaters. Back to our original question. When we adore Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, are we to beg him for his grace? Emphatically, yes. When we ask him for light and strength for ourselves and others, are we adoring Christ in the Holy Eucharist? Again, emphatically, yes. Of course, this prayer of adoring petition presumes faith in Christ's divinity, and with resounding emphasis, presumes faith in the real presence. The main reason, as one of my closest Episcopal friends tell me, the main reason why most Catholic churches in the United States are closed . That was part one. Now part two, a little shorter. Eucharist petition as source of grace. Remember, our focus here is on the real presence as communication of grace. But for Christ to communicate his grace, we've got to communicate with him. As we read the Gospels, two things stand out with luminous clarity. first. The contemporaries of Christ asked him for many things. Most of his miracles, we may believe, were the answers to these petitions. Secondly, Christ repeatedly told his followers, and not only his contemporaries, but his followers for all time, to ask for what they needed. And he assures us that whatever we ask for in his name, he will always grant. As we reread the Gospels, there is a close relationship between asking Christ and receiving from Christ. Ask, and you shall receive, he told us. The conclusion even a child can understand. If we do not ask, we shall not receive. Receive what? What Christ would have given us had we asked him. You don't need a course in epistemology to understand that. There is another striking feature about these gospel petitioners as described by the evangelists. The people who asked for favors from Christ made sure they were near Christ. Let me repeat. The petitioners who asked for favors from Christ made sure they were near to Christ. And some, as we know, well, they shoved and they pushed and they made a nuisance of themselves to get near to the Savior. Thus, when he was asked, he would go to another town. Look, Christ is God. We have a Latin phrase, actio in distans, action at a distance. God does not have to push buttons or pull levers to achieve what he wants to do. Otherwise, the world would not have come into existence out of nothing. But he wants to teach us something. It is not so much his proximity to us as our proximity to him. I hope I'm clear. As a manifestation of faith, in other words, his presence, and it had to be presence. Remember Zacchaeus climbed into a sycamore tree so he could see. His presence inspired people to ask him to work some miracle which they believed he could perform. Oh, there was a crowd, and someone asked for what only he could do. wanted to make sure that Christ heard, that Christ saw. There was a remarkable nearness of place or space between the petitioners and Christ. When the Savior responded favorably to what was asked of him. And that is why prayer before the Blessed Sacrament is such a potent source of blessings communicated by Christ to the one who asks him and is near to him. Why? Because the one who is praying believes that Christ is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. Because the one praying comes physically close to Christ in the Eucharist as an expression of his faith in Christ's power to grant what he is being asked to do. Why? Because the one praying believes that there is no more effective way of obtaining favors from God than through asking the God-man present in the sacrament of his love. Lord Jesus, we believe you are our God who became man. We believe you are the God-man who instituted the Holy Eucharist as the principal source for your communicating grace to us. But, dear Lord, we know and teach us to know more deeply that you will communicate to us what we need, provided we communicate our needs to you and that where you are present in the Holy Eucharist, we too are present, so that asking you for what we need, you will answer our petitions because you are our God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.